Happy Friday, everybody. We've made it through another week in 2020. Something to celebrate there. But what a fun show we got. What a fun night of sports it was last night. I mean, another insane game in the Eastern Conference Finals there on the hardwood between Boston and Miami. And we'll get to that later on here in the show. Also talk about the fact that the Stanley Cup final matchup is now set. With the Tampa Bay Lightning winning last night, that sets up the Tampa Bay Lightning and Dallas Stars Stanley Cup Final, which actually gets started tomorrow. So Tampa Bay, not a whole lot of time to rest. Just today, that's all they have before they have to get back on the ice tomorrow and play a Dallas team that's going to have a few more days of rest under their belt getting ready for that Stanley Cup Final. But we'll talk about both of those games a little later on in the show. Coming up in the next segment, we hope to have our pal Terry over the phone. We'll talk, get his opinion on Thursday night football. Also talk a little bit about the NBA. He's a basketball fan like I am, so we'll get his thoughts and feelings on the game last night between Boston and Miami. And then, of course, the Western Conference Final gets started tonight between the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also I'll give you my preview of that a little later on in the show. We'll also hope to have our pal Saxman Rick Metz a little bit later on. We'll talk about the great game that the boys in blue had last night. And Reno 1868, their fourth year competing, their fourth year going to the playoffs, keeping that 100% record going there. So we'll talk about that. A lot of good stuff coming up in the show. But we got to start with Thursday Night Football. I mean, that was the most interested I think I have ever been in a Cincinnati Bengals versus Cleveland Browns game. And I am just not, you know, I'm not from Ohio. I've never really obviously been overly involved with any teams from there. So it's not that I don't like these teams. It's just that throughout my lifetime, Cincinnati had that stretch where they were a playoff team, but again, under Marvin Lewis, couldn't get a playoff win at all. But last night was the most excited I have ever been for a game between these two teams, and it lived up to the hype. I mean, I think both teams, Cleveland looked modern than they did on Sunday against Baltimore. That could have been because, obviously, they're playing two teams on completely opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, Baltimore being the defending AFC North champions. They had that 14-2 season last year and picking up right where they left off. Now the next, you know, they turn around and play a team in Cincinnati that's recovering from, you know, the 2-14 season they had last year. So, I mean, Cleveland obviously playing a team that's not as good as Baltimore, but still to go out there and put up 35 points and have an offense that was operating in both facets. They had a really solid passing game going on and that running game, which obviously, Cincinnati's run defense was going to be the biggest opportunity for Cleveland to really gash Cincinnati. And they had a great game on the ground, but also through the air. And a complete game from Cleveland. Also, defensively made some good plays, some good stops, forced some turnovers there. But for Cincinnati also, I think they looked a lot better than they did on Sunday as well. You know, Joe Burrow connected on some deep balls in this game. So good to see again that he's already kind of work, you know, he knew what he had to work on. He knew what he had to get better at. And it seems that he really worked on that in those few days that they had off between the Chargers game and this game. So I like seeing those couple shots downfield. And, you know, no interceptions. He did have a couple fumbles, unfortunately, but no interceptions. So I think, you know, Joe Burrow, again, getting a little bit better in between week one and week two. And that's what you want to see. If you're Cincinnati, right, the old adage is, you don't draft a quarterback for their rookie year. So even though Joe Burrow is 0-2, he has looked competitive in those two games. Again, he had a chance to lead Cincinnati down the field in that game against the Chargers and have almost the game-winning touchdown on that drive. So I think from the way he ended that game to picking up in this game against Cleveland, again, a kind of a solid performance from Joe Burrow. And I think that's something that this Cincinnati team can feel really confident in, knowing that you have a guy that bounced back from a heartbreaker of a loss to went on to complete 37 of 61 passes. I mean, Joe Burrow, in his second start, Cincinnati is having him throw 61 passes. That is a lot of faith in a young quarterback that, one, he can handle that kind of a workload in just his second game as an NFL starting quarterback, his first on the road to have the responsibility of throwing 61 balls. But, you know, going 37 for 61, not bad. 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, again, no interceptions. So, I mean, Joe Burrow, again, through the air, having a solid game. And, again, he looked relatively composed back there. I mean, Cleveland was able to get, I think, 3 sacks on him, a strip sack also from Myles Garrett that set up one of the rushing touchdowns there for Cleveland. But the Browns did a good job of putting pressure on Joe Burrow when it did not look like he was overly fazed by it. You know, I mean, he got a little beat up. That's going to happen. But for the most part, he picked himself up. He kept coming back. And, you know, 35-30, this is a competitive game. When it looked like there was a time where Cleveland possibly was getting ready to run away with it, when it was 28-13, it looked like Cleveland was in a position to really, you know, take command and run away from Cincinnati. But the Bengals fought back, and partially because of the fact that Joe Burrow was there slinging the ball around the field. Not that, you know, they had an awful running game, but they kind of did. I mean, 68 yards on the ground, you're going to need more from your running game if you're Cincinnati, because it's not going to be on Joe Burrow. I mean, Cleveland put together, again, a really complete game. If you look at those team stats, I mean, 434 total yards, 219 of which came through the air, 215 came on the ground. So that's about as even as a game as you can have if you're Cleveland. And, you know, a totally different feel to that Browns team this time around. And again, they're playing a team on the complete opposite end of a team like Baltimore. But still, that doesn't mean Cleveland was going to come out there and have that kind of a game. So you pick yourself up from a tough week one loss on the road against Baltimore, at home in a rivalry game against Cincinnati, and Baker Mayfield played a heck of a game. And he finally got Odell Beckham Jr. as involved as Odell Beckham should be. With him having four catches for 74 yards and a touchdown. Again, you'd like to see Odell Beckham get more touches than just 4 catches, but 74 yards and a touchdown, that works. I mean, you don't need to do anything over the top. That's the thing with Odell Beckham Jr. and guys that have that kind of talent. It doesn't need to be anything over the top. So even though 4 catches for 74 yards might not sound like a good enough day for Odell Beckham Jr., included a touchdown, and he made some big plays for Cleveland throughout that game. So those 4 touches mattered throughout the game for Cleveland. The fact that Baker Mayfield connected to 2 different receivers there on 8 different receivers overall in the game, that shows a lot of good depth for Cleveland in that passing game. When you can give your quarterback more weapons, it's going to set you up to be a little bit more successful and give you just more options, obviously, give more things for the defense to think about. And Cincinnati overall, you know, through the passing, their passing defense, I didn't think it was awful. You know, I mean, you're going up against a talented group of wide receivers, so you're going to have your struggles here and there, but their passing defense didn't stick out as much as their run defense did. And that's been the problem for Cincinnati. It felt like that's where Cleveland could get their most success. And, I mean, they had 2 guys, obviously Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who, I mean, they had a solid day against Baltimore. So you had a feeling that if Cincinnati wasn't able to kind of get to them early and shake their confidence, that could be a huge problem for the Bengals, and it was a huge problem. I mean, Nick Chubb, 22 carries, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt, 10 carries for 86 yards and a touchdown. I mean, those 2 guys, when they can get going like that, they put Cleveland in a very strong position. And this is the kind of offense I think we've been waiting for Cleveland to show us, because you have that guy in Baker Mayfield who is a talented QB. He can move around. He can create plays. He can give himself time. He can be a dual threat guy. And you have guys out there ready to catch the ball like Odell Beckham Jr., like Jarvis Landry. You know, you got guys that are very talented wide receivers leading that receiving core. And now you have guys like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, which, I mean, you might have a hard time finding one of the better 1-2 punch like that in the NFL, especially if they can perform like they did last night. Because all it takes is one of those guys to bust through, and the other one's going to be right behind him. I think that's what happened with Cincinnati. I mean, Nick Chubb started beating him up, and Kareem, can I get on this? Are you kidding me? And that's what happened. It felt like Cincinnati, as they were getting ready to stop one of the running backs, then had to face the other one, which gave them a completely different – I mean, they're both very strong running backs, but, you know, a little bit different in their agility, a little bit different in the way they can accelerate. And Cincinnati was just completely off balance, not only with the two running backs, but just the way that Cleveland was playing offense entirely last night. They did a great job of switching it up again to have 219 yards through the air, 215 yards on the ground. That is a very well-balanced offensive attack. And even with that, again, you think about how well Cleveland played. Cincinnati only lost by five. Joe Burrow, again, a very strong drive there late in the game to make it a five-point game. And who knows, you know, that onside kick gets recovered, and it's a totally different ball game. But I think Cincinnati, again, showed fight. They're not the same team. If this is last season and Cincinnati gets down 28-13, they lose by 30, 35 points probably because they just give up. They would give up, and they wouldn't have the talent early on in the game to give themselves any kind of a hope of competing in that game. But this Cincinnati team this year, in two games now, has continued to fight, continued to hang around, and given themselves some kind of a chance to either force overtime or win the game. And when you have a young quarterback like you do in Joe Burrow, seeing him be this competitive in his first two games, I think is a huge confidence booster for that team and that fan base. And again, somebody that's harsh on himself, not overly harsh, at least I hope not, but, you know, pointed out that Joe Burrow did this. Might be the first time in his career he's lost two games in a row. I mean, think about the season he had last year with LSU. They didn't lose at all, so he's probably very unfamiliar to this thing, and he transferred from Ohio State to go to LSU. That's not a program that usually loses two games in a row either. So I think with him, with Joe Burrow being so aware of himself, being so aware of what it is to be in the NFL and be a starting quarterback in the NFL, for him to be able to come back from week one, have this kind of performance in his first road game, again, 61 pass attempts on the road in your first road start in the NFL in your rookie season, that's a big ask, and it didn't look like it fazed him at all. You know, he looked like he was dying to get the next throw off. So that competitiveness, that competitive fire is there. It seems like these Bengals players really kind of feed off that. And really, they just run into, you know, a solid game from the Chargers in week one and then a really, you know, stellar game from Cleveland offensively here in week two. And, you know, that's going to be something interesting to see where this Cleveland offense goes. Because now that they've had this kind of a week, again, you played a great team in Baltimore week one. You come back and play this kind of a team. Now, next week, they host the Washington football team. And Cleveland has dominated that series with Washington. So if their offense can put up this kind of a show, come back and then play a team like Washington and have that same kind of offensive production, I mean, Cleveland could start to hit a rhythm here. Not to say that they're going to, you know, do anything incredible this year in terms of maybe winning a division or anything like that. But this was a better performance from Cleveland than I expected to see last night. I really thought Cincinnati had the upper hand. Coming in off a tough loss against the Chargers, I thought they were going to be a little, you know, really dedicated and really amped up for this game being a rivalry game. And, you know, down 28-13, I was sitting on my couch just almost in disbelief that Cleveland had gotten a 15-point lead on them. But then here came Cincinnati, and it was really a fun game to watch on Thursday Night Football, and a solid win there for Cleveland as they go to 1-1. Baltimore now, or Cincinnati, excuse me, goes to 0-2. But I feel like that first win is going to come fairly soon for Cincinnati. I feel like this Bengals team, who next draws the Philadelphia Eagles on the road, that'll be their next game next weekend, which isn't going to be an easy matchup either. But I think Cincinnati is a team that's on the brink of really finding their rhythm. The biggest question for them, the biggest issue for them this season, is going to be that run defense. How does it change? How do they try to make that a bit more of a stout run defense? Doesn't have to be perfect, but it's got to be better than it was last night. And they're, I mean, really, it's the run game period for Cincinnati. Stopping the run game and getting their own running game going, that's going to be the key to see how, you know, how their season over the next 14 games evolves and changes. And but I think that first win is very, very close for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals team. But a solid performance there from Cleveland, a solid performance from the Browns just overall there at home on what was a very special day in the world of the NFL, celebrating their 100th birthday, I believe it was. But a fun game, and can't wait to see really what Cleveland can do against Washington and how Cincinnati bounces back on the road against Philly. That'll be an interesting games for next week. But we are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our pal Terry on the phone. We'll get his thoughts from Thursday Night Football. Also, his thoughts on the Boston-Miami game from last night. Also, ask him what he thinks about the Lakers and Nuggets game coming up tonight. And then we'll give you our Week 2 NFL picks. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Welcome back inside the studio. It is Friday, so we have our pal Terry on the phone. Happy Friday. I almost said happy birthday, but that's not the correct day. But happy Friday, Terry. How you doing?
Hey, you know, it's a Friday, birthday, same thing. It's a good day. It's a good loafing day. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. You know, it's a Friday. It's a little bit of a sunnier day than it has been in a while. Well, so, you know what? I'm feeling good.
It's not feeling so apocalyptic.
Yes.
So it's nice.
It does. It feels a little more like, I was going to say it feels a little bit more like 2020, but that's not overly great either.
No, it's pleasant today. So
that's true. It's feeling opposite 2020, really, today.
Exactly.
But, Terry, a lot to get to here, man. We'll kind of jump around, but I want to start with football, obviously, with Thursday Night Football happening last night. What did you think of that game between Cleveland and Cincinnati?
I thought, now you're a little bit more kinder to the Bengals than I am. I think they're probably, you take, even with Joe Burrow, who I think is going to be a superstar, I think they are one of the worst teams in the league. So I expected more of a blowout on Cleveland's side, but which is kind of, to me, a little bit more telling to Cleveland. But man, I really like watching Joe Burrow throw a ball. He's good. He's really good.
Yeah, why do you think Cincinnati is – I mean, obviously there are a lot of aspects in which they still struggle, but why do you think they're the worst team? I mean, they're obviously – I mean, they look better than they did last year. They're improved in that sense. Or do you not agree with that either?
Oh, no, they look much better. I don't think they're the absolute worst team. I think the Jets are going to end up being the worst team. But you know, they're kind of in that bottom three between Dolphins, Jets, and the Bengals. But I think they are much better. They looked a lot better than last year. That's for sure. You know, and just new rookie coming in, no real off season to speak of. No, you know, it's just here you go. Here's live action NFL football. That's asking a lot for a rookie, but he seems to be handling it pretty well. Of course, for me, he got the backdoor cover last night, so that makes me happy.
I think you made some good points there. I mean, they weren't going to be one of the better teams in the NFL, and they weren't going to be, you know, miles better this year. But I do think that, you know, Joe Burrow is – I think he's getting better by the game. I think he definitely looked a little more composed. I think he definitely looked – you know, he didn't look as – you know, in that first game against the Chargers, I feel like it was a lot of that kind of college, schoolyard type stuff, those shuffle passes, you know, trying to make plays where they just weren't there to be had. In this game, it seemed a little bit more decisive. He seemed to be a little bit more on point deep down the field. So, really, I'm not overly concerned about Joe Burrow. I'm more concerned about how their defense is going to be throughout the season. If that can develop a little bit more, then I think they're a competitive. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team by any means, but I think they're going to be, you know, relatively competitive this year.
Yeah, I agree. That defense, they're going to need them to throw 70 times if, you know, they're going to need to beat someone. I mean, 61 for a rookie? My God, that's insanity.
Well, and he's attempted 97 in his first two games. Like, that was something I was thinking about during the break. Are they asking too much of Joe Burrow right now? Are they getting almost a little too excited with him back there?
No, I think volume is going to do well for him just because he's just, you know, it's not like he's going out there, you know, managing the game and throwing 17 times. I mean, he's the showcase. He's the man, you know. And then throw in the running back who I like. I really like what's his name?
Joe Mixon. Yep.
Yeah, and I think, man, if they could get a decent, if they could get that run Mixon going for him, that'll just do him so much good. But it is a little concerning that they're 97. That has to be a record for a rookie, right? In the first two games, it has to be.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the first two games. It was the second most throws in a single game by a rookie last night. Chris Wankie has the most with 63 in one game when he was there, I believe. Yeah, remember Chris Wankie?
Grandpa on his rookie year.
Yes.
Yeah, he was grandpa's first year.
The old Florida State Seminole quarterback who, yeah, he came out of college at like, what, 28 or something like that? 26, 27?
29, I think.
Was it 29? Yeah, he was an old guy coming out of college. But yeah, I mean, that is, they're asking a lot of him. But then again, when you have your number one overall pick there, quarterback, that's probably going to be the case. But you know what? I was impressed by both teams last night. Both teams looked good to me. I thought Cleveland, on a short week, that offense looked miles better. And it'll be interesting to see if they can continue that kind of an edge that it seemed they had last night. I felt like on every play, especially every run, whether it was Chubb or Hunt or Mayfield or whoever, every run that they had felt like it was capped off by a bit of an exclamation point.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Yeah, and I think Cleveland's in that 8-8 territory, which, you know, obviously is, you know, good for them.
Yeah.
But Chubb and Hunt together, oh, man, that's a – now, I do have, like, you know, of course, nobody cares. But I have Chubb and Hunt in my fantasy.
Oh, look at you.
On two separate teams. I don't have them together.
Oh, all right. Well, still, though.
But still, yeah. So Chubb did me well. So did Hunt last night. And I think with Cleveland, we got to look at, you know, everything Mayfield does. If Mayfield's doing well, then they're doing well. If Mayfield's bad Mayfield, then they're going to be bad. And as Myles Garrett can get started, I think they'll have a chance to get that pass rush going. So that'll always keep them in games, I think. But I think Cleveland looked pretty good last night, for the most part.
Solid pass rush, 3 sacks, then the strip fumble as well from Myles Garrett. So I mean, if Cleveland can come out and have those kind of balanced games, not only, you know, balance between their offense in terms of passing and rushing, but when you have your offense and your defense stepping up and making those big plays, I mean, you can stay competitive, and, you know, that can sometimes be all you need in the world of professional sports. Go in and give yourself a chance, and you never know.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Any given Sunday, like they say.
Yeah.
Any given Sunday.
Look at the Denver Nuggets. That's also a great example of show up and keep fighting. I mean, down 3-1 in two series, they now get set for game one of the Western Conference Finals tonight against the Lakers. Give me your initial kind of thoughts on what you think that series is going to be like.
First off, my pick for the Clippers among probably 75% of the people that just crashed and burned. It just goes to show you how much chemistry is important, how much team, you know, you always hear people, you know, coaches say the better team will always beat the better talent. Because if you can have all the talent in the world, and if you don't play as a cohesive unit, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the best team's going to win always, and I think that's what happened here. Man, Jokic and Murray, man, those guys. Jokic, you know, I want to be cautious in saying that Jokic is the best center in the league, because let's be honest, this in NBA, this era of NBA, you don't need a center to be, you know. And if you do have a center, if he's a stretch center, can guard all five positions and go out and shoot the three, then you're doing well. And, you know, Jokic, he may not be able to guard all the positions, but he can go out and step out and shoot the three and stretch the four. So
I was going to say, if you're looking for a center in today's game, I mean, guard the paint and hit a three. That's what I need from you. And Jokic can do that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. Absolutely. And I think Denver's going to give L.A. a bunch of fits. I think L.A. is going to win, unfortunately. But but Denver, for sure, will stretch it to six or seven, I think.
I mean, I think if you're the Lakers, the biggest lesson to take into this series is avoid going up 3-1. That's yeah. what you don't yeah. want to do. Either get out to a 3-0 lead and don't give Denver that three-game window to win the series, or let them tie it up at 2-2 and then just go and try to win it from there. But do not go up 3-1. Otherwise, you know, chances are, from what we've seen this year, you're going to lose that series.
You're going, yeah, exactly. What was Milwaukee up, or wasn't Milwaukee up too as well? Weren't they up 3-1? Or am I confusing my series? Once football starts, my brain goes to mush.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee, I don't think ever had the series lead against Miami because they lost in five. Trying to think that series against Orlando. Well, I mean, I don't remember exactly what they were up, but they went on to win that series.
It don't matter. They're gone.
They are. They are done.
They're gone.
Milwaukee is. Although, Giannis did get his second MVP.
Woo! Hey, I saw he tweeted a picture of him reading a New York Times with obviously photoshopped or a fake newspaper saying that he won back-to-back MVPs while he's sitting on a private jet. I mean, that's the most ultimate power move I've ever seen in my
There you
life.
Go. Eliminated from the playoffs, and he's still living a better life than most of us.
So, no, I'm very disappointed in the Bucks. Very disappointed in the Clippers, and they should all be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Bucks, yes, they let a good chance go by. But, I mean, if you're the L.A. Clippers, I don't know how you explain that letdown there. But that should be – I agree with you. I think the Lakers are going to win that series. I do think – I mean, honestly, I think it's going to be L.A. in six. I think that's going to be it. But I think Denver gives them a heck of a run in all six games, and excited to see the start of that series tonight. How about Miami and Boston? I mean, I thought the Celtics had that one last night. Then once again, I mean, Miami just doesn't die. They just don't quit, and it's amazing.
No, it's amazing. Bam out of Bayou and Jimmy Butler, man, Jimmy, he's taken because everybody's always said, hey, you put a good the best player next to Jimmy. Let me rephrase that. If Jimmy Butler's your best player, you're in trouble normally, and he's giving those critics kind of the finger.
Yeah,
and saying, hey, look, I'm here, and I thoroughly enjoy watching Miami play, man. And Miami Boston goes back to the old, like, Detroit Bulls Knicks, you know, just absolute beatdowns each, you know. So I'm excited for. I love real serious, real physical basketball, and that's what we're gonna get.
Yeah, I mean, these two teams, and not only, I mean, Butler and Adebayo as well have had great series, but I mean, you talk about another guy that I've loved watching for Miami is Tyler Hero. I mean, that guy just finds any which way he can to make an impact. And this, the thing that makes me a little nauseous, the kid's 20 years old, and he's out there in the Eastern Conference Finals just lighting it up for Miami. It's crazy when you think about a young kid like that, essentially, performing the way he is on that kind of a stage. But he's been incredibly fun to watch this postseason. I mean, him, Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic has been a lot of fun. That whole Miami team is just finding ways. Jay Crowder as well. I mean, they just have guys player after player that can step up and do great things. And I don't know. I mean, Miami's up 2-0. I mean, is it possible? Could the Heat sweep the Celtics? Is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah, it's possible. Will they? Probably not. I think Boston gets the next one. It's going to go six, I'm guessing. But Boston's got to pull their heads out if it's going to go six. But
I mean,
what's funny is I was listening to Bam Adebayo this morning. I think it was on a Levitard show. And he said that at the very beginning of the year, Jimmy Butler took Tyler Hero aside and kept him under his wing. Mm. Now, those two, I don't picture being best of buds, and apparently they are.
Well, yeah, the story, I think, was that Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic as well have become really good friends. But, I mean, I feel like Butler is kind of like you said. He's giving all those critics that doubted his ability to lead a team on the floor and in the locker room kind of the middle finger this year by just playing great on the floor. And then just like that, taking a young guy like Tyler Hero under his wing the entire season. Because there was an article I was reading a couple days ago that – went back to the days where Jimmy Butler was on Chicago, I believe at the same time Dwayne Wade was, and he overheard Dwayne Wade having this conversation about how Dwayne Wade didn't appreciate the culture at Miami until he went somewhere else. So I think Jimmy Butler has found a culture now that accepts him and that he can thrive in and that he's finding a lot of comfortability in now having these guys around him that just seem to really enjoy playing the game of basketball, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and I think we need to start – I mean, we should have a long time ago, but given Eric Spoelstra his props and how good he is. Just a little known fact, Eric Spoelstra's mother – was a producer of the Portland Trailblazers broadcast back in the 80s and 90s.
Look
and so
at you.
Portland. Yeah, look at that. Monica Spoelstra. And so he played basketball, I think, at Jesuit High School up in Portland.
Oh, very
and then,
nice.
Went on to college. And then went on to get hired by the Heat as a video coordinator. And then now look at him.
Yeah, you know, I do. I agree with you. I feel like during that big three period, those 4 years where they had LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, a lot of the times, if things weren't going well, Spoelstra would always come up, you know, that kind of, can he handle it? Can he handle the star power? I mean, Pat Riley's kept faith in him, and he's done a great job since those big three have moved on in you know, coaching the players that he's given and making them a contender, and he's done a heck of a job this year. So I'm excited to see where that series goes moving forward.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. I am too. I'm just – now, you know, now there's just so much. I mean, like, deep NBA playoffs. We've got the NFL. We've got the Big Ten coming back. Pac-12 possibly coming back.
Yeah.
My senses can't handle this anymore. I'm getting overloaded.
Yeah, I know. It's. I mean, last weekend and same thing probably this weekend, I'm just going to be, like, you know, I'm going to be flipping back and forth between channels just trying to keep my head on straight. But I'd
Absolutely.
Rather have that than what we had a few months ago where I'm just sitting around twiddling my thumbs watching freaking cooking shows and guys running through shopping centers and
absolutely.
All that. But
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go.
Oh, I was going to say.
Trust me, it was nothing.
I was going to say, let's get to it, man. It's week two of the NFL season. Let's get to these picks. I picked Cincinnati yesterday, going out on a bit of a limb. Felt pretty good about the way they were coming to that game. Came up a little short. Did you have an official pick yesterday, or were you just hanging out watching the game?
If you ask William Hill, I took Cincinnati.
All right.
And they covered for me.
There
so
you go.
I did have them. But I didn't think that, you know, I it was just kind of a flyer. I don't know. It was just kind of like Thursday night, if things are going to get weird, I think Cincinnati's going to do it. They covered. They didn't win, but they covered.
Yeah, so for anybody out there, Terry will give you his pick and also his I guess, line decision.
Yeah.
There you go. His pick and his odds. He'll give you that.
Absolutely. So I am ready when you are.
All right. I'm just going to give you my flat out picks, but we're going to get started here with the Sunday morning window. We'll start Giants at Bears. Who you got?
Giants at Bears. I have the Bears taking the 5.5 winning outright.
Yep. I picked Chicago to win this game. Like the way they bounce back against Detroit. I think at home they keep that going.
I don't think Giants are as bad either. I think they're going to be a decent football team this year. Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback.
Yeah, I think you just got to tip your cap to the way Pittsburgh played their run defense. I think Saquon Barkley is going to have a lot better games coming up this season.
Indeed. I'm ready.
Atlanta at Dallas. Who you got?
I've got the Cowboys 4.5 winning outright.
I picked the Cowboys too. Atlanta looked better than I thought they were going to look at Seattle, but I think the Cowboys still going to have the upper hand there at home. Then we have
Indeed. The
NFC North matchup between the Lions and the Packers.
Packers are going to win outright, and I also got them for the 6.5.
There you go. I also have Green Bay getting the win there at home over Detroit. And we have an AFC South divisional battle between the Titans and the Jaguars.
Titans are going to win by 14.
I'm also picking Tennessee. I'll be interested to see how Jacksonville bounces back from that solid game they had in week one. I'll be interested to see how they look, but I'm also picking Tennessee. Then we have Minnesota at the Indianapolis Colts.
I have the Colts winning by three.
All right. I'm going to take Minnesota because I put my faith in Phillip Rivers last week, and you would have thought from 14 years as a Charger fan I would have learned my lesson. I did not. But I'm going to go Minnesota on the road this week. I think they get it done.
And, you know, I'm not worried too much about visitors, you know, visiting home just because of how everything's planned out. There's not a lot of noise that you have to worry about. So you've also got to take that into an account, too. That's true.
Then we have an AFC East divisional matchup here. The Bills on the road against the Dolphins.
It can always get weird in Miami just because of the weather, cramps, all that stuff. But I think the Bills are going to win. I'm taking the 5.5.
I agree. I got Buffalo winning this one. I think, really, besides seeing how they match up against New England, I think Buffalo is going to be able to manage themselves against New York and Miami in that division this year. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers going east, taking on the New York Jets.
I think they're going to take their frustrations out on the Jets. And Niner fans, listen, I know I make fun of the Niners all the time just due to the fact that they're so much better than the Raiders, and I'm jealous.
There you go. That's
Niner
honest.
Fans, relax. It's only 2 weeks. It's only week two. You guys are going to be fine. Arizona's a lot better than they were last year. Niners win big, take the 7.
Yeah, I would absolutely echo that statement. Arizona is going to be a lot better this year than they were last year. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, I think, are going to be one of the best QB wide receiver duos you see this year in the NFL. It's going to get better as the season goes along. So, yes, don't freak out. It's just week one. You got 15 games to go. I'm also picking San Francisco to get the win over the New York Jets. Then we have the LA Rams going on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles.
This is going to be a close one. For my local book has them as a pick'em, so I'm taking the Rams to win.
Yeah, you know, I went back and forth with this one a lot because I feel like the Rams barely escaped at home, but the Eagles, just no faith in them after blowing that 17-point lead against Washington, so I as well went with the Rams. Then we got the Denver Broncos against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's see, I've got Denver. I'm going to take Denver to cover their 7-point underdog. They may not win, but they're definitely going to cover the 7.
All right. I am picking Pittsburgh to win that game. I think they had a great game against New York. I think Big Ben's just going to get, you know, more acclimated back into the NFL world with each passing drive. So I think Pittsburgh at home gets that win against Denver. The final morning game in the NFC South Division, the Carolina Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think the Bucs are going to win. I think Tom Brady's going to bounce back, they're going to they're favored by 9. So I'm taking the 9 and the Bucs for the win.
I'm going to go with the road upset here. I'm going to pick Carolina. I think Tampa Bay is going to continue to struggle a little bit. And or at least I'm just hoping that Brady's going to, because I loved watching him struggle last week. But I think Carolina's found a good rhythm. I think Teddy Bridgewater can play, he can coach, or can lead that team throughout a game. He can execute on plays when he needs to. So I think Carolina's going to get a narrow upset there on the road. Yeah,
like
look out.
I like it.
Jumping into the afternoon window now, Washington at Arizona.
Washington is going to win outright, cover the 7 as well.
All right. I'm going to pick Arizona. I think they take a little bit of momentum from that win against San Francisco. They get to go home, and I think they get the win there against Washington in the desert. Then we have the Chiefs at the Chargers as the Bolts open up SoFi Stadium.
I'm sorry, but the Chiefs.
Don't be sorry. It's the smart pick. Don't be sorry. I'm a Charger fan, so I'm going to pick the Chargers. But I am, you know, keeping my expectations realistic heading into that game. Then the final afternoon game, the Ravens at the Texans.
Texans are going to not win, but they'll definitely they're 7-point underdog. I think they're going to keep it close. They're going to, so I'm taking the Texans in the 7.
All right. I'm going to go Baltimore getting the win on the road. I think they picked up right where they left off last season against Cleveland, and they're going to just continue that again. It's going to be a closer game, but I think Baltimore gets the win. Then we get to Sunday Night Football. The Patriots coming west to take on the Seahawks.
You know, I know there's not going to be any fans. The 12 isn't there, but Seattle's still a weird place to play no matter what. Seattle's going to win outright, and they're going to cover they're favored by 4, so they're going to win at least by 4.
Yeah, I think Seahawks still in Seattle. They're just the better team than New England. I got Seattle winning that game. Then we go to Monday night as the Raiders, unfortunately, with no fans there, will get to open up Allegiant Stadium against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints.
I have no trust in the Raiders' defense, but I think it's going to be a shootout. Saints are going to win by at least 6. But it's going to be a shootout. I think the over is definitely going to be in the 65 category, 70 maybe. And I just got notification George Kittle is out.
Yes, he is.
Sorry, I just saw that.
I just saw that too. Yeah, I was reading it as you were saying it. So does that change your pick at all then with San Francisco?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, it shouldn't. It shouldn't change your pick at all. San Francisco's still going to win that game. So, I'm sorry, are you picking – I didn't catch your Monday night pick there. Picking the Saints, okay.
No, I'm taking the Saints. They're going to beat my Raiders. I have no faith in the Raiders' defense at all.
I'm going to pick New Orleans just because I think Drew Brees, again, on a mission this year without Michael Thomas. I think they've got a lot of weapons. They'll find a way to win. But should be another fun week there in the world of the NFL. Terry – my man, thank you so much for jumping on. Always appreciate it. Weekend, enjoy the football. Enjoy the basketball as well. And we will talk to you next week, my man.
Absolutely, man. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's go football.
All right, man. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Always fun to talk to Terry and get his opinions there. And we'll see how those picks pan out. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Reno State FC and their great performance last night against the Tacoma Defiance. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Reno 1868 FC has been competing in the USL for 4 years, and for the fourth straight year, they clinch a playoff berth. What a run. What a team, really. Just year in, year out, game in, game out, this team knows how to compete and just knows how to win and get the job done. And once again, here at home last night against the Tacoma Defiance, did just that, getting a solid 3-2 victory and clinching that spot in the playoffs. They needed a win or at least a draw last night to get that playoff spot, and they did, in fact, get the victory. And they got out to an early start as well. Sam Gleadle, in just the 5th minute, able to put the ball in the back of the net for Reno to give him a 1-0 lead, and that would be the lead that Reno would take into halftime. It would be the 7th time this season that Reno has led at the half, and the win moves them to 7-0-0 in such contests. So if Reno has the lead at the half, they're in a very good position. They're a tough team to beat, even if it's just a 1-0 lead. Again, it's tough to get the upper hand back on that team in the second 45. And especially when, again, you come out and have the second goal, Emilio Yacaza, 52nd minute, gives Reno a 2-0 lead over Tacoma. And really, that started a chain reaction of 3 goals in about 6 minutes. Yacaza got his goal in the 52nd minute to give Reno that 2-0 lead. Then Sissoko of Tacoma got the goal in the 55th minute to make it 2-1 before Foster Langsdorf scored in the 57th minute to then give Reno the 3-1 victory. And for Foster Langsdorf, talked about that great scoring streak that he's been on. This was the 6th game in a row that he has scored a goal, which ties the club record. So if he can score in Reno's next game, that would make it 7 straight. He would own the record for goals in consecutive games for Reno 1868 FC. But a great run as of late by Foster, and putting what would be the game-winning goal, the game-clinching goal, into the back of the net for Reno. It made it 3-1 before Ray Serrano Lopez in the 75th minute for Tacoma got the goal to make it 3-2. But Reno would hang on to that 3-2 scoreline. They would get the victory. So with that, they are now solely in first place with 28 points, 3 ahead of Sacramento with 25. Both teams have played 12 games now on this official kind of restart of the season. But Reno looking very, very good in this game. And once again, Reno's 3 goals marked the 5th time in the last 6 games that the team scored 3 or more in this season. So what a showing from Reno once again. This team offensively and defensively just clicking and putting on a great performance. A quick turnaround, though, for Reno as they travel to Portland for a game Sunday to take on the Timbers 2. That kickoff set for 6 o'clock. So don't miss that this Sunday. But that is it for the first hour. We're going to throw it back to SportsCenter for a few minutes. We'll be back a little after 2 o'clock. We will be talking NHL and NBA action from last night. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show. Stay tuned.